Good morning. Good morning to all of you on this first day of June, the beginning of Pride Month, but I think you just do Pride Life here, so that's all the better. Yeah, give yourself a hand. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm Sally Dick, a retired bishop in the United Methodist Church. I have been here, this is my fourth Sunday, it's also my last Sunday, and you know, while this is a really hard time for all of you, it's been a privilege on my part to walk with the congregation on Sundays so that, you know, there's somebody consistent with you. So I have appreciated that opportunity. Today, as we come to worship God, we're made mindful once again of God's love for all of us. And while at times we maybe are casual about the fact that, you know, God does love all of us, it sometimes helps to be reminded. So why don't you remind yourself and each other by saying, God loves us. And then maybe just think about some of those folks that are a little bit harder to love. And you can whisper it to yourself. But that is what the message during this series has been, that God's love is for all of us, and it's ours to share with others. As I welcome you all in, I want to turn to Becca. And she will give an announcement.
All right. Oh, and it's even on. I love this. So good morning. For those who might not know me yet, I'm Becca Kramer-Mauder, she, her pronouns, and my role on the administrative board is to watch over personnel matters. And if you're on our email list or if you're in our kitchen tables this week, you received an update from the administrative board on related to leadership here at the table. The administrative board, along with the conference, recognizes the need for consistent and steady pastoral leadership for our growing community of faith during this time of transition. So in case you missed the email or weren't in kitchen table, we wanted to bring this message to you today from Bishop Sandy. Dear table family, first, I want to assure you of my ongoing prayers for you, Reverend Smith, his family, and the Duhiersey family. I hope that the grace and love of God and your fellowship with one another is helping you navigate these unexpected and difficult waters. I'm grateful to your leadership for their compassion and care as they have sought to step up and into the void left by Pastor Linda's death and Pastor Matt's suspension from his pastoral responsibilities. Second, I have asked the Reverend Greg Bergquist to serve as an interim pastoral leader at the table from June 27th through the end of 2025. As the complaint process proceeds and decisions about the long-term future remain unknown at the moment, the table needs pastoral leadership stability. Reverend Greg will bring that to you. He will offer a spirit of consistency and compassion rooted in a non-anxious presence. He has deep gifts in pastoral care and vision casting, and he and his wife Connie worshiped at the table from 2012 to 2016 before they relocated to Nashville. Greg deeply appreciates the ethos, values, music, and life created at the table. He, in fact, holds his charge conference membership at the table. A clergy member of the California-Nevada Annual Conference, Greg served Los Altos United Methodist Church as associate and executive pastor, First United Methodist Church of Santa Rosa as the senior pastor, and on the appointive cabinet as the conference superintendent for leadership development. Greg also served on the faculties of the Pacific School of Religion and Southern Methodist University, teaching in areas of historical theology and Wesleyan Methodist studies. Greg was appointed to the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry as the Associate General Secretary in the Division of Ordained Ministry and Higher Education on January 1st, 2017. And beginning June 1st, 2019, Greg assumed the role of Acting General Secretary and was elected to the General Secretary for the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry in January 2020, a position he held until retiring last year. I am hopeful that Reverend Burquest will be a blessing to the table and in partnership with the leadership and each and every one of you. The table will find a way through these present days to continue in health and strength. In peace, Bishop Sandra K. Olwine. So let's take a deep breath in and out. Let's also be gentle with ourselves and with each other as we recognize the various feelings that may be coming up. And remember that we're in this together. Amidst the feelings in response to this time of transition, the administrative board encourages all of us to leave the door open for hope and for beautiful things that we have not even imagined yet. I'll be outside at the Next Steps table between services this Sunday and next Sunday if you want to talk. You can also always reach out to me at personnel@thetableumc.org if you have questions about Greg, who I have known for a long time, if you have questions about any of this Methodist speak about general boards and such that I also just went into. I know there's been a lot of that lately. And now I invite us to take one more big, deep breath in and out. And now let's stand as we prepare our bodies and our spirits for the music team leading us in See the Love.
Every day we go to war again, and soon we know so much more than them for what they have to say. Headline breaks, we start to hate again, calling them names again. Fades away and then we know that there is pain within. We cannot medicate. Learn to feel, learn to begin again. Open our eyes again. See the love, oh. is all around you. It's all around.
I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by. Or how strangers still say bless you when someone sneezes, a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we are saying. And sometimes, when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it. To smile at them and for them to smile back. For the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder and for the driver in the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now. So far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat.
Let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer fuller be. O light that follows on my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's plains its day may brighter fairer be. O joy that seekest I through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise not in vain that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust like glory's dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, that life shall endless be. Life shall end. Life shall endless be.
All right, we're going to see how good I am at pulling out this microphone. Yay. Okay, I got it. All righty. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Welcome to the table. My name is Lisa Wegley. I serve on the administrative board, and welcome to those of you online. Your host today is Jay Phoenix. So we are so glad that you are here this morning joining us. Don't forget, if you want to follow along in the service, there's some QR codes at the both sides of your pews. You can go ahead and just take a picture of that and follow along in service. I did want to take a moment to say thank you very much, Pastor.
Pastor Sally Dick, who has been here with us for the last 4 weeks. She's going to give us the last sermon today. She is finishing off our series of Agape, Love is the Answer. So thank you so very, very much, Sally, for coming and being with us during this time. Next Sunday, we start celebrating Pentecost, so that's pretty exciting. And then we have a new four-week series, and this one is Imago DEI. So that was pretty cool. Looking forward to that. All right. So one of the gifts I think that Pastor Bishop Sally left us is she asked us questions on the last two Sundays, if you were able to stay after church, where we talked about what our feelings a little bit more. And so last Sunday, I asked y'all a question. And the question was, what do you love about worship service? And so can you put that slide up for me? Perfect. So Pearl, who is on our admin board team, created this amazing word cloud. She created it from your words. Over 93 responses. I was blown away. Our board was blown away. You gave us life. So I'm going to turn my back to you, and we're just going to look at a couple of these. First and foremost, the musicians' hairdos never came up, but music everywhere. Music, the musicians. It was just amazing how many things we saw. The message, the sermon, communion, diversity, people. It's amazing what y'all put, social justice, all of these things that we here at the table embody that y'all put down on paper of what we love about our service. One of my favorite ones, a lot of this was paraphrased because Pearl was doing her best to fit all. And by the way, the 93 responses were not one responses. Somebody did 10 on both sides of the paper. So everybody was filling it in, right? So one of my favorites was, I have the same coffee at home, but somehow it tastes better here. I thought that was good. There was one that touched my heart. And so their response was, and I don't know who it is. The first one was music. And the second one was, I know, what I loved most is gone, so I don't know. I know. It made me pause for a moment, and it made me reflect that although there's a lot of things that we love, there are certain things that are changing. And many of us move in different spaces. And so where we might be accepting a little bit more, someone else still might be having some heaviness in their heart. So I invite us all to continue doing what we're doing and keeping our ears and our hearts open. And so when someone's sharing with you they don't know, just listening and being there, because as you can tell, communion was up there and community. All right, are y'all ready for the next question? Because we're going to do this every week for a little while. Because it's kind of fun. There should be paper in front, pen. And if you don't have a piece of paper, raise your hand and someone will give you a piece of paper. Everybody got it? Got their little card? Are y'all ready for the new question? These questions, by the way, are not easy. It took us about the admin board team, and I'm not joking at all, 5 days to craft this question. So, and I might be up here with the microphone talking to y'all, but really it's the entire admin board that I'm standing here and talking to y'all on behalf of. All right, y'all ready? Here's the question. And we are really wondering, how are you caring for yourself during this time of uncertainty, both here at the table and in our world? Here's the question again. How are you caring for yourself during this time of uncertainty here at the table and in our world? So just take some time to reflect about that. We are going to do the same thing that we did last time. We're going to collect all of your answers. You can put them in the offering plate. You can put them at the candle sections. You can leave them at your seats. Somehow they found their way to me all last week. and they will continue to find your way, and we'll share again. All right. Okay, so we're going to move on to some fun stuff now, and that is the things that are happening in our church, right? So if you have any questions, by the way, about what is happening, either about the letter that was just written or anything else, please know that you can reach out to Lynn, and you can email her at hstreetcampus@thetable.umc, and she will help you out. Okay, so next Sunday is the last offering of Godly Play, and then June 15th begins our very first summer series for the children. And so if you're interested in helping with the children's program over the year, over the summer, if you could please reach out to Kara, right there, Debbie and or Sarnit, and they will help you. We have lots of events that are happening right now. And so you can go out to the Next Steps table after church here, and you will find out about the potlucks and the things that are happening out at the farm and the parades that we're in. So lots of great things. Okay, go ahead and stay seated. You can kind of keep writing as our team shares the song, Love's in the Need of Love.
On to everybody, what I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hate's gone round, breaking many hearts. Stop before it's gone too far. Just give the world love. Oh, oh, love. The force of evil plans to make you its possession, and it will, if we let it, destroy everybody. We all must take precautionary measures. If love and peace you treasure, then you'll hear me when I say, of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hate's gone round, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it's gone too far. People, you know that love, oh, love. just give the world love.
Beautiful. Little Stevie. Thank you. My name is Bob Martinez, and yes, welcome to the table as we welcome that wonderful, refreshing sea breeze this morning. Praise God. That was great. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with a little walking music. And I'll remind families that we do receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Those who are two and under are in the loft room throughout worship, and our 3 and 4-year-olds are out in the playground. Our children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade, as usual, go upstairs now for godly play. Our reading this morning comes from the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version. Father, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Right before Gertrude Stein died, she was a novelist, even a philosopher, a decade or so ago, she was asked, "What is the answer?" She thought about it, and then after a long silence, she said in return, "What is the question?" The theme of these past 3 weeks has been love is the answer. And throughout these 3 weeks, every Sunday I sit here and go, okay, so what is the question? If love is the answer, what is the question? So let's think about this a bit. A couple weeks ago, Reverend Motoy was here, and she said, you know, these chapters from the Gospel of John, which are the words are a prayer by Jesus for his disciples. It's like a sandwich. And what's in the sandwich is important, the words that we heard. But it's also important about what's on either side of the sandwich. As she mentioned, these verses in this short series on love is the answer occur between the Last Supper with Jesus, then the words of Jesus, and Peter's denial of even knowing Jesus. Jesus had the disciples, and others I'm sure, around the table, and in the midst of the meal that you would hope would just flow smoothly given the significance of its message. Servanthood exemplified in Jesus washing their feet, all of them at the table for the last time before Jesus experienced the cross, it was chaos, filled with conflict. Jesus announced that someone would betray him. Did he know who? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Whether he did or not, Judas' behavior revealed his intentions before long, and he rushed out of the room on that note. Now, if that happened to me at a very significant dinner, I would be rather upset. Maybe Jesus was calmer than I am in those kinds of situations. But when my closest companions begin to turn on each other and me, it's unnerving. If not for him, I'm pretty sure it was unnerving even for his disciples. It was a rift in their relationship that had actually come to a head. It was already boiling, but this sent it over the top. Then Jesus says in this conflict or chaos sandwich, you are to love one another. After that show of disloyalty and disruption, should you love the one who has just turned on Jesus? I wonder what they did say to Jesus' words to love one another. And yet they had just seen Jesus wash Judas's feet. He exemplified that he loved Judas, even as he anticipated Judas's actions. Then these long passages on loving one another are followed by Peter denying that he even knew Jesus to the people around the fire where Jesus was being interrogated within their sight. After Peter denied knowing Jesus, much less following him, the cock crowed. You get the sense his eyes locked with Jesus, and he knew that he had committed the one thing he had promised never, never would he do. Again, the internal conflict that caused Peter to be at this lowest moment was overwhelming. All this in the context of love one another. That's what's in the sandwich of conflict and chaos. It's a love sandwich. First, Jesus, now Peter, and Peter. Upon that rock, Jesus was going to build the church. Some church that begins with betrayals and denials of the very one who has called them to this mission of following after him and spreading it to this very time and place and people. Yet Jesus prays to God that the church, beginning with those disciples, will be as one with him, and he and God have been one throughout history. So if love is the answer, what is the question? Jesus makes it clear the question is, what do you do when things fall apart? When people are at each other, they disagree. When you don't get along with those you need to care for in the Christian community, in the church, in the wider community, in your family. Everybody have a perfect family? Not so much? What do you do? If the commandment is to love one another and to be as Jesus, and to be as one as Jesus and God are one, if that's the answer, the question, or perhaps I could just call it the quest, is huge. It is our life's work. The question is really like a journey into how do we love those mostly who are nearly impossible to love. We're called to love not just our neighbors and friends, not just those we care about and agree with, but those who are creating chaos and conflict right in the midst of it. That's where we mostly live our lives. Hopefully we have other time and space to be who we are, but it's a good part of where we live. When we think about the earliest church, I think we're often tempted to imagine that everyone was getting along with each other. It was sort of a kumbaya moment. But it seems like the point of Jesus' answer that we are to love one another in the midst of this chaos and conflict is where we have always been. And it began right there with Jesus. It wasn't his earliest disciples who began to have chaos and conflict. It began right there all around him. And that's where we are a good share of the time. And last Sunday, Reverend Kathy reminded us that Jesus said, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives you peace, but as I give peace." I think what that means is peace doesn't come without conflict, without chaos. Peace comes as Jesus gives it to us in the midst of conflict and in the midst of chaos. And yet these words are exactly what people need to hear and think about and eventually live out, including me. Think about how the early church was called to be as one, like Jesus commanded, and then proceeded to say, "In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor enslaver." How can that be? How can that be? People weren't used to living without those distinctions. They may not mean as much to us as they did in that time, but you think about the distinctions you live with. And that's what we're talking here. God loves us unconditionally. But to be one with Jesus, as Jesus is one with God, means that we struggle in our individual lives and in our community and in our church to live it out. And perhaps that's what church is. It's the place we seek to learn how to live the answer. The early church sought to live out this kind of diversity, equity, and inclusiveness. And actually, in spite of what most of us have ever learned about early church history, as we have discovered more and more from recent scholarship, there were tremendous breakthroughs. The early church affirmed women in leadership in spite of what you've always been taught. It recognized the lowliest, the enslaved, and welcomed them. And as hard as it was, Jew and Gentile, there were no distinctions. Yes, really, they did that. Not without problems, but they did it, and it was contrary to the decades that followed. The early church began to succumb to culture, society, we might call it empire. And the church became more like those around us than we remaining true to our identity. As I said, even scholarship and translating scripture, or how we view women, or other people who are different from ourselves, and how we regard those who have struggled their whole lives, the church became more like culture and less counterculture. I love that word, counterculture. I think that's part of our path as Christians, is counterculture. And although there were some shining examples where people really broke through and some reformations, what happened was the church began to subordinate women and refused to relate to people who weren't as wealthy or as high in status or were people of color. But Methodism got its name from who? Okay, good. Methodism got its name because John Wesley, our founder, and his group did what the established church called vile things. Yes, vile, as in V-I-L-E. They did vile things. It was countercultural when John Wesley had women preach in the early church, advocated against slavery, stood up for a man who was accused of being a homosexual, standing on his father's tombstone one day to preach, and continued to do so wherever he was because he'd been thrown out of the organized church. Those are our roots. We're vile. We're vile people. Yeah, there you go. So, as the church began to have these moments of light, then this was a great opportunity. They became vile. Blessed are the vile. Methodism came to the colonies in the U.S. You have to understand this part, too. And these practices were begun. But then as the church grew faster in the South, where enslavement was prevalent, things began to change, and the admonition against slavery eroded. Women were no longer allowed to preach until 1956, and then just barely for a while. And as every living bishop knows, you still take flack when you appoint a woman to some churches. Help me understand that one. And of course, the United Methodist Church has struggled until last April to officially embrace all people, and I mean all, no matter their sexual identity. Doesn't mean the kingdom's come, but it was a huge step forward. Just amazing. So in our culture, society, call it empire if you want, I'd say now is the time for the church to be vile. To be one with Jesus who stood for all people, not just for some. Now is one of those times where we insist that our Christian faith calls us to love others. Love one another because God loves us. Because, you know, when people work at loving one another, to be as one and caring for the poor, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, lifting up the spirits of the downtrodden, sharing with those who need care when nobody else seems to care. The light of Jesus shines right through. In Jesus' prayer, he says, to see my glory. Okay, this is a little bit of a confession on my part, but whenever it says, to my glory, I was like, okay, those are just buzzwords. But you know what I've come to understand is it means to see my light. To see my light. We glorify Jesus when we love. And even if we can't do it perfectly, and I don't think Jesus expects us to do it perfectly, but we come here, we follow our faith, we seek to be loving, so that even when we stumble and take steps backwards, we still know what the path is going forward. So we love one another. Can Republicans and Democrats find commonality? If not that, love? Can we love one another and all creation? Can earth and humanity live in sustainable harmony? There's all kinds of people, all kinds of chaos and conflict where we're called to seek to follow Jesus into the world, into our messy relationships, into places of conflict and chaos. Can we love in such a way that the light shines through? So what's the question? The mess is the question. How do we live in that mess? In our families and communities and nations and workplaces, school, church, wherever we are, love is the answer. May God give us the grace to seek it from day to day. Amen. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in a call and response prayer of confession. Let us pray together. Merciful God and wounded healer, free us from ways of being that contribute to suffering. Forgive us, O God, and guide us toward paths of justice and healing. Help us to embody your love, which knows no bounds and embraces all. Amen. The divine light shines upon all, offering grace upon grace. No matter the shadows of our past, God longs for us to experience a deeper sense of recovery, healing, and remaking. In the boundless love of the holy, may we find our wounds tended and our spirits restored. Friends, hear and receive the good news. In the embrace of the divine, we are forgiven. Our bodies are loved, and we're made new. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those who are nearest to you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
To the Lord, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our praise and praise.
In the beginning, listen to this, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the painter, God the creator touched the swirling mass. And God's hand separated the earth from water. and the water from the sky. God touched the earth, and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the sky, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and all kinds of swimming beings made waves in the water. God reached to the sky, and all kinds of things with wings took flight. And God said, "This is good." And when everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You are the one I've been imagining. You and everything you see around you is my beloved creation. And all of it is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people could not be faithful, despite God's generosity and goodness. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and justice and put them inside a form the people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on the earth to remind us of all that God had made us to be. If we would abide in God's love as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
Jesus did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. The principalities and powers lure us to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him best, because the challenge was too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them, promises us, that he would never leave us alone, but would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming, his going and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and sing this mystery of faith. On that night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples that have been formed and reformed throughout the generations. This morning we'll share a paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, Loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Pour out your spirit on our bodies in this moment. Pour out your spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all people, and we know all truly means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We're all God's children. This is God's table. It is open to all. Some of us find ourselves in a pattern of practice each week coming to the table, and others find hesitancy. Sometimes it has been a while. Wherever you find yourself today, you cannot make a mistake. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. There is gluten-free crackers in the center cup and fresh bread that has been made for us around the edges, and juice is in each cup so that all may freely participate. We invite you to take a piece of bread or a cracker and dip it in the juice, and please then make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, or return to your pews when you feel ready. Let's move together with tender care for one another in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life, broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
loving God. We give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean into God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice in the world. We encourage you to make a gift today by placing a check in one of the offering plates or by giving online at thetableumc.org. I invite us to stand in body or spirit as our musicians send us out with a song called Love Like There's No Tomorrow.
Loving every night and day, loving all our troubles away. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no two, love like there's no tomorrow.
Loving on down to the wire, love burn like a wildfire. We're gonna love
like there's no tomorrow.
Again, I just want to say thank you so much for receiving me these 4 weeks, and you will be in my prayers, and I know that you will love like there's no tomorrow every day. So may the awesome grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the marvelous love of God and the community of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Oh, love.
Love for my brother.
My brother.
Love for my sister.
My sister.
Love past the color.
Love for the nation. Love on every occasion. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Oh, we're gonna love like there's no two. Love like there's no tomorrow.
I know a few people who also, you know, buy and sell and share and trade. So yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much.
How you doing?
Thank you so much. Yes, sir. Absolutely.